All right, guys, welcome to the only and the best podcast in the entire world, the podcast that is going to deliver you the best news of the past 2 weeks. Now, this episode was supposed to drop June 19th, but Xboxes have an extended show, and I'd rather give you guys like long shows, and I will put I will put the timestamps in here for y'all so y'all could jump around to the parts that you want to, because this will be such an extensive, wonderful episode. So we will be talking about a lot of things today. I'll give you an overview of everything that we're going to talk about, like I usually do in the next spot, with the before the catch up actually, and then we'll catch up. So if you guys are ready, strapped fuck in, I don't know, tell your boss to shut up, tell your friend to stop talking to you, whatever you're doing, turn the game volume down. We are about to get into a lot of news this week. And I'll explain it a little bit later. But yeah, we're about to get into it. But first, let's catch up, and then I'll give you the schedule, because there's a couple things to catch up on. Okay, now to catch up on, we have been playing a game called Chorus, and that game is really, really fucking cool. It's actually a really dope space shooter game. We have Sandman, the annotated version, volume four, coming sometime this week. We should have the Death and Return of Superman coming later this week, as well as Absolute Sandman volume 2 coming later this week. A bunch of big books. We're going to attempt to do a TikTok read of Sandman. Don't know how the fuck that's gonna go, but we're going to give that shit a try. We read a couple X-Men stuff this week. I will try to put some comics at the end of the podcast. Maybe not this one, because this one's going to be insane. Unless I do. Maybe I do. And I'll put the timestamps that way. You know, anybody who just wants to get the comic stuff is going to be here for the comic stuff. But I'm sure everybody here wants the game stuff. Let's see what else we got. I feel like I went back and played another game, but I can't even remember what game I played anymore. I tried playing Pac-Man Museum, and that game's not fun. I mean, it might be fun for some people, but, like, I miss the arcade thingy. The more I play that, I'm just like, damn, I want the arcade stick back. Let's see. I mean, I think that's really it. I watched Star Wars Episode 2 again, and now I'm on to the Clone Wars, the TV show. Also, I watched American Psycho, and that movie is fucking hilarious in so many different ways. That man is fucking crazy, bro. That shit was funny as hell. Yeah, but other than that, that's really it, because I was usually busy, but then something happened, so, like, I have a little bit more time to myself. And that's all I really was able to do with the time to myself. So, I suppose it is time for me to explain how this will be structured. We will be doing, we'll do the regular news cycle, right? Everything that was news related pre-show, which might even cover some rumors of what to have expect during the show. And then we're going to jump into Xbox Show Part 1. And then we'll jump into the thoughts on Part 1. And then we'll jump into Xbox Show Part 2. And then thoughts on Part 2 of the show. And then we'll get into the Apple event that passed. And then we'll get into anything else that just happens to pop up after that, and as well as Netflix Geeked Week. So there's a lot of stuff that we're going to cover in this episode. So if you missed anything, we got you covered. I got you covered, because it's just me and the other me's. So let's get into this, starting with this Xbox Bethesda showcase. All right, so after watching both showcases, it's just the second one was truly just an extended show with just insight into everything that they were telling us. So we'll just drop all the gems that we can drop here. right now. There's a lot of fucking shit. A lot of fucking shit. All right. And I thought it was actually really, really cool. All right. So let's start. Starting the show off with, we had Redfall gameplay showing us someone play as Layla, the black woman with beautiful hair. And we get to see her elevator in use. And it's just really cool to, like, so her elevator is, it's kind of like a bouncy house elevator. So it, you throw it down, people go in it, and then they get shot up. And then they get suspended in the air, kind of like Horizon's thing in Apex Legend. It's her gravity lift, and it's just really cool. It's a nice addition. It's a very team-oriented game. Like, you really can use all those, you really should use all those abilities together if you're playing together. Oh, you can also play as four of the same characters. So no fighting. That was announced on their Twitter, actually. They made a joke about everyone playing as Layla, and I was just like, oh, that's great. So we could just all have elevators and then have an elevator line and just go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And then, all right, anyway. It's really cool. It does remind me of, like, a Left 4 Dead aspect, but it tries to keep its own identity. And it tries to make you feel good whether you're playing it by yourself with two people, three people, or a full four party. And the game really does look pretty good. I mean, for the footage that they've given us, it looks very entertaining. It looks like it's really going to be a co-op game to enjoy with different types of vampires and different types of factions of humans that you have to fight. I can't wait to see how the exploration really works in the game. Is it going to be a very linear game, or is it going to be a lot to explore as you reach different parts of Redfall? Because, like, if it is similar to Red 4 Dead, then, like, Left 4 Dead, it was kind of linear. Like, there wasn't, you can't really go anywhere. You're in a, for example, you're in a house in the backyard, maybe. You are in an amusement park. You're only in an amusement park, and a lot of the sides are blocked off just so you don't go too far. Again, it was a 360 game, but that's how it should have been anyway. Like, that was great. So, I mean, this game is its own game. So, I don't want to say that's how this game should be, but I just wonder if it's going to be like that. Or if they're going to section off the city, and you can technically explore the entire city, it's just the entire city in sections, or if it'll be kind of open world, but open city type of thing, kind of like Dying Light maybe, or it's like, all right, you can explore the city, you can do missions through the city, you'll be running back and forth, but I do think it does have some linearness to it from what we've seen. This game is supposedly coming October 2023. Now, as I wrote this down, I mean, as I'm looking over this, I don't actually remember if they said October 2023. I know they said 2023, but it looks like it's coming out October 2023, as far as my notes, and I don't believe I took one wrong note this entire thing. I was like triple writing. I was writing on whatever was in my hand. If my phone was in my hand, I was writing on it. My iPad, my laptop, had everything out. But I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see if there's how, like, what type of things you can do with your friends. You know, if you actually do combo them, or if you, like, do a double up on two characters. Also, the game has really cool stealth elements, too. So, like, you can be sneaky in the game, and I love that. There might be enemies that you can never sneak past, of course. There's always a game that's like, hey, you can be sneaky, but we have these enemies that you can't sneak past. But that makes sense, though, because it is made by the Dishonored group, which means they're definitely going to put some sneaky elements into it. So I'm excited for that. That's going to be really, really fun. Next, we see a very intense trailer for Hollow Knight Silksong, a side-scrolling hack-and-slash game. And I don't remember, because I played the first one, but not too much. I don't remember if it's a Souls-like. I think I'm thinking of, maybe it is Hollow Knight. There's another Knight game, I think. And it is like a Souls-like game. Like, I fucking died in a roguelike game. But I don't even think, I wouldn't even call it roguelike. Maybe it's more Souls, because it's a lot of dodgy. And when you die, it's similar to starting over, but you don't have to start all the way over. Not like Death's Door. But anyway, Silk Song looks like a really, really intense game. The art is beautiful, and the backgrounds, the enemies, they look like they're going to really entice you to play this game. Squanch Games is releasing a game with the creators of Rick and Morty, where the guns talk to you, a game where aliens sell humans, and you have to stop them. It's called High on Life, and it's hitting Game Pass in October. And it actually looks really good. Anyone who knows me knows I'm not a fan of, like, Rick and Morty. But this thing right here looks really, really good. Like, this game looks funny. This game looks fun, hilarious, ridiculous, over the top. I was loving what I was seeing, truly. It just looked like it was going to be one of those games that I definitely have to give a try regardless. Also, Riot Games. We got Riot Games hitting Game Pass. PC Game Pass, but it's hitting Game Pass regardless. And when I say hitting Game Pass, I mean, yes, you get Riot Games, but if you play through Game Pass, you get the perk of unlocking all characters. All of your characters. Riot Games will be hitting Game Pass later this year with a ton of perks. And I need to get a PC, because I need to get back into League of Legends, and I need to log into Game Pass because my fucking Mac doesn't have a Game Pass client, which is really, really trash. They should have a Game Pass client, and they should allow it to work like a Steam client or something like that, but no. I don't know why they don't just partner with Xbox. Plague Tale 2, coming 2022. We are in an intense journey to get Hugo to safety. Now, it wasn't really a story trailer. It was more of a gameplay trailer. So, I don't remember. And there was a lot of her brother in, like, the second half of the trailer. Maybe the first half, too. I thought that was a different kid. But he was definitely in the second half. And it just looks really cool. There's different ways to use the rats. There's different ways to defend yourself a little bit more than the first one, and I need to go play that first one again because I never finished it, and it is a beautiful looking game. It is a fun game. I think I just need to fix my brightness settings. Highly recommend checking out the trailer for Plague Tale 2. That Requiem, that shit about to be fire, bro. Like, oh god. Oh man, speaking of fire, Forza Motorsport Remake was shown in 4K footage. Going to you gotta watch it after the stream though. When you go find the video that they uploaded with full resolution, whoo, that shit looks beautiful. The ray tracing looks wonderful. Games just get better and better, and the scenery looks great too. You wouldn't have thought that they would have focused on the scenery so much because it's a simulation game, not really a scenery game like Horizon. Yeah, like Horizon, you get to drive off the, like, off terrain and shit like that. But, bro, nope, this game was like, nah, we'll make sure the crowd looks excited. Small little hubs on the side of the road look good. Fucking water, like, everything. You take a photo, we want everything in photo mode to look good. We want everything in normal mode to look good. So, it just looks great. Oh, man, it's coming out spring 2023. And they said it's real-time ray tracing in it. So, like, this just takes simulator racing to a whole new level, to a level where I'm actually going to try and play this game. I have played the Forza Motorsport 4, because it was a launch title. And then I think I tried 5 for, like, 5 seconds, but, yeah, bro. This game looks fucking beautiful. The car damage is insanely, tailored, like, down to, I can't even remember what the man said, but it was showing it, and it's just like they rebuilt car damage, they rebuilt the weather system and how everything reacts to the car. So, like, heat will, if you're playing with a place with high degree weather, the asphalt's heat will react to your tire, or your tires will react to the asphalt's heat, so you'll drive a little differently compared to wet weather or drier weather. And I just think that's really fucking cool. Like, to be able to sit there and do the numbers and find out how the setting for how you're going to run this shit, like, that is insane. That is something that I absolutely commend. That's difficult. I know that's difficult to take all of your time to do that. It's crazy. And then it make it actually work and look good, like really good. Speaking of simulators, Flight Simulator celebrates its 40 years with a new aircraft, multiple aircrafts to be exact, coming this year. And today, before this podcast even started, you could fly the Pelican from Halo. And from what I've heard, that Pelican that you can fly from Halo in that game is very, very detailed. And you get in it and you're like, wow, this is how it's supposed to fucking move. Why did they get this down so perfectly? Oh my God. It's absolutely dope. They showed a small little cameo footage of the damn aircraft, and it's just cool. Like, dog, you can fly a Halo aircraft for reals, but not for reals. That's wonderful. I want to do it just because I'm a Halo fan, and I might. I've never played Flight Simulator a day in my life, but even if it pisses me off, I might try that. I really might do that. But yeah, that's Flight Simulator, and it looks dope. All you Overwatch fans, you will be playing the game October 4th, 2022, but there is also going to be an open beta, which I will get the date for now, because as I was going to say, I don't have the date for it. I was going to be like, why the fuck don't I have the date for it? So we're about to find out. But there are some beautiful characters in it. There are some really cool costumes. They actually went in depth a little bit after. And it looks pretty good, honestly. It will be free to play. That's the other good thing. The beta is June 28th. So you'll get your hands on it. I don't know if the game's gonna be good. Now, that's a whole different story. I just know that we finally have the fucking, we finally have the day to play it. And then we finally have fucking, a beta. Oh, also, Fall Guys is on Xbox, and they're also getting a Halo collaboration. They did this cool trailer, like the Believe trailer, and it was actually kind of cool and funny. Loved it. Turn-based strategy game from Xbox Game Studio, which seems to be based on history, and you get to make it. Aura, History Untold. Looks like a very interesting game. And basically, it's a game where you get to write history from any standpoint in time, and it's pretty damn cool. I'm not interested in it because that's just the one type of game that I'm not interested in, but it looks like I could see a lot of people fucking with that game, and it might turn into some pretty good streams. The Elder Scrolls Online High Isle comes to Xbox next week, a new adventure for your warrior with never before seen lands. Starts June 21st. Well, I said next week in my notes, but that's actually time of recording. Hey, if you an Elder Scrolls Online lover, better get on that. Fallout 76 is also celebrating Fallout anniversary, with The Pit getting released this September. A creepy mutated sewer ground. Can you save The Pit this September? Just looks like a bunch of creepy enemies, and you gonna have to do a lot. It looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun for any of y'all 76 players. I, for one, am not a 76 player. I need to beat one of the Fallouts for once. Forza Horizon 5 makes an appearance to show off. Get this. Hot Wheels. So, we get Hot Wheels back in Horizon. One of the best DLCs ever made. July 19th, 2022. I cannot fucking wait. Shit ton of cars. So many. It's like Hot Wheels in the sky. I'm excited. This is going to be fucking cool. I absolutely love the Hot Wheels DLC, and I need them to give us Japan and then give us Hot Wheels in Japan. Now that will be fucking crazy. Pre-time Unreal Engine 5 footage of Arc 2 and dinosaurs, Vin Diesel. They come in 2023 and will even hit Game Pass day one. So anyone who loved Arc, yeah, you're getting that back. I think Arc was cool. I just died a lot because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Also coming in Unreal Engine 5 is Scorn, a gore-fest body horror hellscape of pure pain and damnation, launching on Xbox October 21st, 2022. Whew. Boy, I can't wait for some Scorn. Probably never going to beat that game. I love horror, but that shit just gives me so much anxiety. But I can't wait because Scorn looks fucking beautiful, dog. Scorn looks like it's about to be some creepy ass shit, dog. I cannot wait for October. We also see some beta video of a fantasy game with some really cool action. Slight feels of Assassin's Creed Origins a little bit. And like the and like the 360 Prince of Persia. Yeah. It looks really cool. It's called Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn, and it comes out 2023, and I'm very excited for it. It really does look like a good game. It looks like there was a lot of using the shadows to move around and stuff like that, but not like sneaking. It's like an ability, and I just thought that was really cool. I can't wait to see more of it. I mean, it's a while before it reaches us, but I'm absolutely all here for it personally. I'm ready for it. There's a lot of games here that look really good. A new game from the creators of Minecraft. We have a new adventure, a story where you are the center. Minecraft Legends coming in 2023, a beauty of a strategy game. There is this 4-player co-op with kid violence and furry creatures and big baddies. Gunfire all around. Gunfire Reborn drops this year. It looks like it'll be a really fun four-player co-op to play with friends or your kids. Regardless, it definitely does look pretty fun. Created by Plot Twist, we have a platforming adventure game with a creepy house and the memories of a seemingly dying father. Spring 2023 will bring the adventure side-scrolling game The Last Case of Benedict Fox to your systems in 2023. And oh man, this is one of the things I'm most excited for. It just looks really cool. It has like this eerie feeling. It's not necessarily a creepy game, but it has this dark undertone to it, and I love it. I love side-scrolling adventure games like this. I love The Artful Escape, which was much more brighter and more of a soul journey, but this game looks really, really good. I really, really say you guys should check out that trailer for The Last Case of Benedict Fox. Definitely looks like it's going to be a great game. I'm bummed that I have to wait till 2023, but I'm excited because 2023 is going to be filled with a shit ton of games. We get more news on As Dusk Falls with them basically just beating into our heads how emotional the story is going to be, them explaining a little bit about the art decision that they went with. And I mean, we already know, we talked about this before, it's a story a long time ago, but for those who don't know, it's basically a story about a bunch of different perspectives, and a lot of it comes down to wrong place at the wrong time. And now they're all caught up. Everyone's caught up in something. Things that they were caught up in the previously in their lives come back to haunt them, and it's just gonna be a lot of storytelling. It seems like with a bunch of different webs, depending on the scenarios you play through and whatnot. Kind of like a Detroit Become Human has those threads of the story. This will too. And up to 8-player co-op. Up to 8 players. It's coming July 19th. So coming this year. So I will give that a try and we will talk about it. Naraka will be making its way to Xbox for the first time. A beautiful battle game with... It's like a survival... It's kind of like a battle royale. It's an arena battling game. There we go. So if you've ever played like, what was that game? I really liked it. It was a game, I think it was by Ninja Theory. It was an Xbox exclusive. I have it on my shelf. Bleeding Edge. So think of like Bleeding Edge free-for-all. And that's what it seems like this is. But it's also getting a campaign mode. And it comes June 23rd, 2022. And it will be right on Game Pass. You will be able to play Naraka. And oh my god, that's tomorrow? That game's coming out tomorrow. I have it pre-downloaded. I'm going to try it out. And I'm probably going to get my ass kicked. Grounded. I'm so excited to announce that Grounded is going into full mode, out of preview mode, and everyone will be able to get their hands on this game September 2022. I'm very excited for this game. As much as I hate bugs, Grounded is such a wonderful game. It is such a dope experience, and it's a horror game in of itself because it's a freaking game about bugs. Bugs are horrible. A fantasy-like game with an assassin-like character. I got this game mixed up with the last game that I said. This game, so if you stayed the whole way because you want to hear more Xbox, the other game that I was talking about, Using the Shadows, different game. There's just so many games that were shown that I ended up getting those notes jumbled up. But this game, I'm still looking forward to that one. But this game, Airbend Shadow Legacy, is a game where you do use your shadows to blend in and just assassinate people. The fighting in it looks really cool. The art style is very different. I'm excited for it. I'm excited for a lot of these things. Like I said, 90% of the showcase I was excited for. There's only two games. Well, forgive me. There's only two games I really didn't give a crap about, but they look like they might be good for other people. But this game looks like it's going to be a really good adventure, a nice adventure that Xbox fans would like to play and very much need. And Diablo 4, we get to be a necromancer. And you can journey to slay Lilith in 2023. Just seeing more Diablo makes me really happy. Really happy. And seeing that we get to beat Lilith's ass makes me even more happy. Even though I really like Lilith. But come on now. We out here about to smoke Lilith. We get gameplay captured on the Series X, and it does look like a really good game. Rewatching it over on a steady stream instead of like live stream, whew, that game looks beautiful. I'm very excited for it. Didn't really care for Diablo 2 that much. I didn't become a fan of Diablo until Diablo 3, excuse me. But Diablo 2 isn't bad, but I need this Diablo 4 because Diablo 3 spoiled me, I guess, as a non-player. And I'm excited for something that's very close to Diablo 3, but more, and that's what they're advertising Diablo 4 to be. Sea of Thieves has the biggest support, it seems, in my opinion. I really think it does. This game hasn't missed a single year at a showcase since its release, if I believe, and I feel like that is beautiful because that's them not giving up on their game, and it just gets bigger and better and people do enjoy it, and I love that for them. They're on season 7, July 21st, and that's just amazing that they keep announcing it at these showcases, keep putting it in people's faces, because Sea of Thieves looks like a very fun game. If I could get past like the first 20 minutes, I think I would fall in love with that game. I just don't know what I'm doing. A game that feels like a tale of tales, a Carolina-esque adventure, Ravenlock, coming 2023. Now, we only really got gameplay, but that game does look pretty cool. It does remind me of Coraline a lot. Like the art style, it just looks like the other mother and the other house type stuff smash into a game mixed with a little bit of Alice in Wonderland, and those are all the things I love. Team Ninja has a game for you. They have a game. Big fat bosses and high-tane action mixed with mythology. Wulong, Fallen Dynasty, comes to Xbox in early 2023. I'm hyped. It looks like it might be a Soulsy Neo-like game. I've never played any of the Neo games, but I'm absolutely here for it. Like, Team Ninja's fucking awesome. All right, I'm excited to see Japanese games on Xbox. I'm excited to see any game that's not like a Western game on Xbox. So I'm very hyped for this. And that brings me to the next part of this awesome showcase. I don't care what anyone says. This right here is top four things that I loved about this showcase. We are getting Persona 5, 10/21/22. We're getting Persona 5 Royal. I think it's Persona 5 Royal we're getting. And then we get Persona 3. Or, not Persona 3. We get Persona 4 and Persona 3. And I cannot wait. I'm trying not to be too excited right now because it's still early right now. But, dog, I'm excited. That's going to be great. I have not beaten Persona 5 or Persona 5 Royal. I have not played Persona 5 Strikers. I haven't beaten Persona 4 Golden, but I'm very deep into that game. I love that game. It's a fantastic game. And I'm so fucking excited to finally be getting these games on Xbox, which fucking means I will beat them because I prefer to play things on my Xbox. It means I get achievements for playing these games. I'm so fucking hyped, bro. That's just one big step. We got Kingdom Hearts on Xbox, fucking ecstatic. We now have fucking Persona on Xbox coming soon. I'm so fucking hyped. I just hope we get a physical for that. And I hope they turn around and make physicals for Kingdom Hearts when they make the next Kingdom Hearts. PlayStation has like 1,000 physical versions of Kingdom Hearts. Xbox needs some physicals of Kingdom Hearts, all the other Kingdom Hearts games. And like, my life will be complete. And we need Nier Automata physical on Xbox. I'm getting it on PlayStation just so I can have a physical version, but I need a physical on Xbox. Love Nier Automata. And finally, from this Xbox showcase, we are shown some beautiful gameplay footage of Starfield. We get to see how guns work. We get to see that there's mad customization to your ship that you can do, or you can just not customize your ship. You can really create a story with your silent protagonist in this game. There's so much to do. There's a little bit of story that they gave us, which was basically you're technically being hired to go look for some sort of artifact or such like that, and then bring it back so it can be studied. But from what they showed us, it looks like it's going to be very, very big. The game looks very dark, like gray dark, but I mean, who knows how it'll look when you play it. I mean, it's just an artistic choice, to be honest, though, because it could just be, this is how we've envisioned space being. Like, we think space is just gonna be gray, like a civilization barely just got here. Like, yeah, we're here, but not here enough to the point where we have New York City on the moon or Mars or whatever. So I mean, I'll take it. If the game's good, I don't care. Bethesda does a wonderful job. There's even Fallout 76. Sure, it had its ups and downs, but people love that game. So, like, you can't convince me that Bethesda's really missed ever. Anything that you would have thought was a miss, they've supported the fuck out of and turned it into an acceptable piece of work. And so I did say we're going to talk about the extended showcase, but I also did mention that the extended showcase was just some interviews, curated interviews with people who were already at the shows. I mean, there's not really much to go on with the extended. I watched it at work and it just seemed like we're just going to give you more details on everything there, which is fine because that's kind of what they said. Now, I think the showcase was great. I love long showcases. That's me personally, especially if you have something to show. I want to see what you have to show. I guess I can kind of understand why some people don't like long showcases, but at the same time, I don't, because it's like, once this happens, we probably won't get too much game news unless there's another show that they're secretly planning for a month. So I want all the news that I can get. I want to see all the gameplay. I want all the interviews. I'm interested in a broad amount of video games. So to me, this showcase was perfect. If that's all they need, if that's all they wanted to show, these games for the next year, if that's all they wanted to show and could show, I'll take it. I think the interviews post-show should have been done less scripted. It should have been people who genuinely are hyped for these games but have real questions, not just fans would like to know, is there co-op? And we really didn't ask the fans, we just know that there's going to be co-op, so we're asking you in a interview fashion. I think that the show could have been rearranged around, maybe, but I mean, listen, man. So I understand some people did not like the show all the way. They were excited for games. They just didn't like some of the things in the show. They didn't like some of the games. Their expectations were different. They were hoping for other thing announcements. And I understand that. But who cares? To me, I mean, they came out. They gave updates on the stuff that they know we can play in 12 months. The stuff that they know will be finished. And that they're very, very positive on. That is fine. It's better than when they used to give us games 2 years out, 3 years out, and then say, hey, now it's getting delayed again. We gave this to y'all 3 years ago, now we're delaying it to the fourth year. Now, I understand if people wanted things like, oh, hey, we're making this, and that's all. No expectation on release date, please. Just know we're making it. That's fine. But I feel like if you forced yourself to have certain expectations for this and didn't like how it came out, that's on you. If you went in here expecting to see Skyrim gameplay, 007 and such, and it didn't happen and you get mad, that's on you. I love making predictions, personally. I love having fun with video game thoughts, but at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens. It's like, I can only guess. Leaks aren't always real, but that's that. So with that, we should get on to some of the other showcases that happened, like the Capcom showcase, right? So with Capcom, they announced that they showed more footage for the Resident Evil 4 remake, and you might be able to shoot while walking. Woohoo! On top of that, they are giving you a Shadows of Rose story DLC. So it's an expansion, and you get to play as Rose, and it's a different perspective on the things that will happen. The new story will follow Ethan Winters' daughter, Rose, and will serve as a sequel to the main campaign. Unlike the main game, this would take place from a third-person perspective. The release for the DLC is October 28th, 2022. And there's also going to be a Mercenaries mode, which will let you play as Lady D. So you just get to start whacking these motherfuckers all around, like, with your big-ass, big-woman claws and shit. Resident Evil Village will be getting a third-person mode as well, and there will be a Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, and 7 will be getting a next gen upgrade, which is actually available now, so you could download that. And Resident Evil Reverse will officially launch this October as well. They talked about some Monster Hunter Rise stuff, Sunbreak expansion. There's a new demo, and it just looks like some really cool monsters. I'm not big on the lore, but DeMeo, Espinas in Gormagala, and a bunch of other ones. I'm just horrible at pronouncing these names because I've never heard of this. I've played Monster Hunter once. I've heard of Monster Hunter. I've played it once, though. So these names are still new to me because I don't remember any of that. I just remembered it was like this bird thingy, and it had like a frog type neck because like every time it ribbited it or whatever, it would just expand. And yeah, that shit was weird. Okay, it was good though. But Sunbreak will release June 30th, 2022. Cool. Let's see. And then there was a gameplay trailer for Exoprimal. Co-op dinosaur murder action game as described by IGN. I think we're also getting Street Fighter 6 gets to get another announcement this year. Dragon's Dogma 10th anniversary tease, but no actual sequel was announced. And I think that was it for Capcom. I feel like PlayStation, did I say PlayStation had one? The notes for all these showcases were like jumbled a little bit, but let me double check. 1 month, yeah, they had one. And then it was just Resident Evil 4 is coming to PlayStation 5 next year. They showed off Street Fighter for us officially. Final Fantasy 7 Part 2. Remake, but it's getting a different name. I think it's called Rebirth. Final Fantasy 16 launches in the summer of 2023. Damn, that's a long time. Could have waited for that news. Horizon is getting a DLC game. No Man's Sky will be on PlayStation VR 2. Stray got announced and it's launching into PlayStation Plus. Marvel Spider-Man series is coming to PC. And Tunic will eventually be on PlayStation later this year. They also showcased the sci-fi horror Callisto Protocol, which I feel like I mentioned, but if I didn't mention it, yo, that game looks really cool. It's like a Dead Space type game, but it's much more creepier in my opinion. I think like it just look really fucking sick. It look like it's gonna be a lot of guts going all over the place. I'm excited for some new horror games, even though I'm never gonna beat them, because you know when it comes to those horrors, I get pusillanimous as fuck, and I love horror. I just like to be scared. That's the issue. So once I get the scare, I'm done playing until I need to get scared again, and I play. That's why it took me so long to beat Resident Evil. For all you longtime listeners, y'all know it took me a long time to beat that motherfucking Resident Evil 7, because, oh my god, dog. It took me a brick to beat that Resident Evil 7. Niggas know. So let's see. Then we had the Apple event, right? Because we talked about everything on the Xbox stuff, and it was Starfield. So we had the Apple event, and honestly, I'm very excited for it. The public beta comes out sometime in July. No date was released yet. It was all software, so don't worry. It was software, and they said, hey, guys, we do have a new... I think it was, hey, guys, we have a new Mac. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a new Mac, but I do have the notes, so let's just go through the notes. It's a little breezy version of it. But new lock screen with live apps and interesting screensavers that make your life easier depending on how you want it. So if you have an iPhone and you know how you swipe, not even that. If you have an iPhone and you say want to put on focus and stuff like that, first off, all your focuses can have different backgrounds depending on what you want your focus to be. And then you can tailor it to that. You can tailor your focus customization notifications even further. So you can really just stop. You can get rid of pages that you don't want. You can only tell focus to show you notifications on certain things, whether it's on a banner, whether it's on the pull down. But also your home screen, you can store up to, I want to say, 5 or 10. I can't remember exactly the number. But you can store multiple screensavers for your lock screen, right? And you can customize your lock screen with the pictures even more. So you can have it, it's basically they're just jailbreaking your phone slowly. And that's the only reason why I'm so excited, is because more and more Apple just lets you just like jailbreaking your phone just slower, like on their time. But I think it's cool because eventually it's just going to be Apple giving you regulated freedom. Now, that sounds really weird, right? It does. But, like, you don't got to plug up your phone and jailbreak it anymore to get that cool lock screen look. Like, you can change the font of the numbers on your clock on the lock screen and stuff like that. Like, that is just cool that they're embracing it. Editing and undoing messages will now be brought to iMessage, as well as an unread feature. Unread's cool because sometimes you open a thing that you didn't really want to open, or you just open it and you're like, all right, I read that, but I can't text right now. So you like unread it, and then, you know, you just respond to it because now you got the notification still there. The deleting and unsending, I think people are complaining about it all of a sudden, like they didn't beg for Twitter to do an edit button and stuff like that. Like, the same thing can happen in text message. And then other people are just talking about mischievous things that could happen. And it's like, I mean, yes, it could happen. But most of the people who are talking about these mischievous things are people who gonna be doing the mischievous things. You know what I mean? I do think they need to lower the timer, though, on edited messages. I think it needs to be like 2 minutes, because I promise you, if I accidentally text a nude to someone that's not supposed to have a nude, I will know the second I put that phone down, send that text message, drop it, and I'll be like, you know what? I just realized that wasn't who I sent it to. Or even when I press send, it's going to be right there. I'll be like, ah, that wasn't meant for them. It happens. It happens. But right now, I believe it's 10 minutes. Or 15, and that's way too long in my opinion. Like, if you want to give people time, give them like 4 minutes. Don't, not even five. I think it should be under 5 minutes, honestly. And edit to the, was it dictation? Feature. Keyboard stays on while you speak, so you can swap back and forth between telling your phone what to type up and typing. And it's just like a seamlessly switch between both. And I actually think that's really cool, because sometimes you just want to tell that thing to shut up and instantly edit without waiting that like 2 second refresh. You can now interact with text from videos, just like photos allow you to highlight things. You can just do that right in the video, copy the words right out of video and paste them wherever you need to paste them. That's really cool. Y'all just got to be careful with y'all cameras, dog. Sometimes y'all motherfuckers be having your credit card in there. Now they going to swipe that shit before he even get it. Like, he don't even got to pause this shit to swipe that shit, bro. That shit's going to be fucking insane. Wallet will allow you to use your wallet ID for apps that ask for your ID. So if you are one of the places that Apple is allowed to have your ID in the wallet and an app ask for your ID, the Apple app, your phone will give them only what they need. So if they want a picture of your ID, but they really only ask for your age and such, they just want it from the ID, Apple will be like, all right, well, here's a legit ID, but we're only going to give you the birthday and the name. Want anything else? And put it in the thingy. Don't need to have an actual ID picture. And that's actually really dope. So it stops people from getting information they don't need. Like, if you are ever hesitant of uploading something, because we all know things store data, but you don't want them to have your address because they don't need that, but you need to give them your ID for something else, well, Apple just one step ahead of you with that one, bae. Maps is getting more 3D features for popular landmarks. Apple TV app will allow you to get scores right on your lock screen when watching sports. I think that's going to be cool, especially since I'm trying to keep up with football this year. Family sharing updates, creating accounts just for kids with ease, helping you know your parental controls. So they're basically a tutorial type thing inside the family sharing, so you can make sure your kids are set up properly and you know exactly what you're doing. You know all the things that you can set up. I think that's actually pretty neat for parents who aren't too keen on technology but want to set boundaries. Photos, you can have separate libraries for people in your family in the cloud. So everyone can have photos of the family. So it's like you can accidentally upload nudes to your family, guys. Luckily, you know, I'm sure a lot of you will probably not use this feature if you got nudes on your iCloud. But all jokes aside, it's a nice feature. If everyone in the family has iPhones and you're taking pictures of the kids out in Japan, and like, you know, you don't want to sit there and try and send it to 7 people in the family or remember to send it to the group chat, you can automatically choose your photos to load up there, or you could take all your photos and then upload them right there, and then the family just gets notifications like, hey, someone just uploaded a new photo to the family group chat, dog. You should go check it out. Look at that little munchkin in Japan. Da-da-da. Nice for family people. Big-ass CarPlay update. Like, you just have to see it. It's so cool. Your iPhone is taking over your entire dashboard if you have one of those newer cars with the long dash, the long digital dash. Whew. Medication health update. We talked about this before, and yeah, you can now, once this update comes out, add medications into your phone with reminders to take them, and it'll even make sure you understand the cross-medication harm that can occur. And it's cool. It's really, really cool and important for health people. I think that's beautiful. Being able to make sure people are informed about their medications as much as they can be informed, letting them know when to take them, because taking medication on time and at the right time and stuff is pretty hard, bro. It's pretty hard. I had to take something for like a whole month recently, and it was just like, bro, I'm trying really hard to do this. Like, when I'm have something like that, I kind of get excited in a sense of like, I don't know if it's the same or it's just kind of anxious. So I feel like I have to do it. But anyway, yeah. So I'm just over here trying to take it on time and whatnot. But the way that I use it on reminder, it's easy to forget. I don't know how this is going to remind you, even if you're not in a position to take it right this second. Maybe it'll have a snooze feature, which might be a little better than reminders. Just, okay, I did it, or cancel. But I will be testing that one out. I will be testing it out. I will use it for like vitamins or something. I'll test it out, see what it's like when we get the public beta next month. I'm excited for that. That is everything as far as all of these showcases and stuff. So we can get onto some comic stuff or whatever other random stuff popped up. So Cyberpunk Endrunner's Netflix series will be dropping in September, made by the studio that did Kill la Kill, aka Studio Trigger. The Sandman will be released August 5th on Netflix. The trailer was released, and some things are deeply comic accurate, while others have been changed slightly to fit a newer vision. Kakegurui Twin, an anime that I really love about a gambling freak girl in a gambling school, will be coming to Netflix this August as well on the 4th, and it will bring an intense gambling sensation along with it. Netflix will produce a new horror series based on Junji Ito stories. And I ain't gonna lie, Netflix just kind of got some shit that I want, man. I'm not getting rid of them just yet. I thought about it, but I'm not. Dark Knights of Steel is getting a prequel story one shot with Mini Knights, aka Prince Batman. I don't know if I'm gonna read it. I like the cover. Might just buy it for the cover, really. I don't know if I'm gonna rush to read it. It just looks really cool with like kitty versions of superheroes, but they're also like royalty. I think that's kind of cool. On another note, sex robots still exist, and they're still being made, like fully movable sex robots. I find that a little funny. I don't care about if you want one or not. I just find it funny that they're still doing it, because like, what if your sex robot is, first off, Never mind. We're not going to get in that topic. What if your sex robot is just mad at you one day, dog? Like, what if you programmed her to have to act as human as possible, and she thinks that she should have feelings at this moment, so she calculates her brain to have, like, a fake sentience and just be like, you angered me. I'm going to chop your dick off. And then, boom, you're penisless. I mean, dog, it is what it is. If that's what you need, that's what you need. If you need you a sex robot girl, sex robot man, sex robot, non-binary robot, dog, go ahead. Get you what you need to get your rocks off, dog. Just leave that shit over there, Cass. You know what I mean? Don't go posting your sex robot on Twitter and Instagram, right? Because the thing is, I'm all for you enjoying yourself, but you don't got to show everybody every part of your life. So the person who's making this sex robot, I want to know, is they lonely or is they capitalizing on lonely people? Because low-key, it's the people who be getting the most or they be married or something that be doing the dumbest things that's anti everything they do. That's also a shot, but we're not getting into that talk because this is not that type of podcast. But, never mind. It's not that type of podcast. We're not getting in there. The Penguin Show is being filmed right now, as well as the Loki Show. First couple episodes of Ms. Marvel were pretty cool and fun. I do think they did change a lot of stuff, and I can totally see why people are mad. I know there are some people who are just like, oh, I don't care about any of the changes. You know, like, comic YouTube people who should totally understand that, especially since they just recently said that they, as a black man, blah blah blah, they should understand why representation matters. But hey, I guess not. I'm sorry, I'm locked and loaded right now. I wanted to get this shit done. I had to mess around with these notes. I love y'all. I'm happy y'all here. Let's just get through the rest of the news before I take more shots. Anyway, it's really good in a sense. I'm really enjoying it. The action is very, I like when a kid is allowed to feel like a kid, right? And she feels like a kid who is a super fan and wound up playing the role of something she's always wanted to be, aka a hero. I wonder how everything's gonna work out for her. I feel like it's gonna be a really tough road, and her hiding this secret from her family is going to cause some strains. I'm almost sure of it, but she seems like for her it's gonna be worth it. Squid Games is real. And you can win $4.56 million, assuming you can put, you know, you can put up with the other 455 contenders. Good luck if you go. I will be watching this real-life Squid Games. I was going to join, but they asked for way too many pictures. I was like, nah, I'm good. $4.56 million, I know I would win the Squid Games. I sure would. Don't, like, there's no thought whatsoever that I wouldn't, but I would win. I would definitely win. Batman Azteca is a new animated film coming from HBO Max that features a historical take on Batman, and it will have some interesting pieces of Mexican culture in it. So I think people should support this. Having a colored Batman, a bat of color. That sounds pretty neat if you ask me. I think that's going to be really, really good for a lot of people. All right. That's really it. Let me just see. Okay, so I don't know if I told you guys, but I'm probably doing a Patreon. And I feel like I said that earlier in this episode, but I'm probably going to do a Patreon, and I'm going to do like deep dives of a lot of things on there. I'm going to do like box openings of certain comic of whatever comics I buy off Amazon and stuff, or if I went to the bookstore, well, maybe I'll do like a video and we'll like kind of like a vlog shit and like pick up mangas and stuff all in the way. It's like, all right, how do we spend $50 or how do we spend $100 on books? And actually, you know what? That sounds really cool. I might just have to do that. Anyway, yeah, so one day I was like, yo, I'm just going to read Kingdom Come. Got it off my shelf and read Kingdom Come by Mark Waid and Alex Ross. You can catch my 3-minute summary on TikTok, P90. Da rapper, D-A rapper. I'll put it in the description too. Excuse me, but that was so, oops, I hit the mic. That was so good, bro. That story was fucking wonderful. Like, when I say wonderful, I mean that story was so dope. The art was fantastic. It wasn't even an evil Superman, but like, they did Superman on the brink of wondering if fighting is worth fighting for so well. Like, I absolutely loved how they did it. And honestly, as much as I love Wonder Woman, I think stories like this, where they paint her in this light, if you do it right, it's really, really good. And they did this right, because she too is like Superman, that she wants to fight for both. Like, she grew up, though, mostly fighting for hers. So at the end of the day, she's a warrior, but she still tries to fight for humanity. She's like, oh, this story is just so good. Like, if you don't know what Superman stands for, if you don't know how influential Superman is, you can actually read this story and you'll think you're right until you're not right. And then you'll be like, damn, so Superman really is that nigga, huh? Dog, Superman is really that dude. That story was really, really good. Now I'm reading Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner, Volume 2. We're going to try and get over with this shit. And then we're going to try and read, I don't know if I'm going to read Omega Men. I think I'm going to read Omega Man after this one. Otherwise, I'm going back to the Geoff Johns Green Lantern run. I was trying to wait until I got Brightest Day, Darkest Night. But if July comes before whenever July comes, it doesn't matter. Once July hits, I'm putting down all the books and I'm starting Sandman, my Sandman read. Oh, I'm very excited for that. I did read Death. We went over that for sure. I'm sure we went over that one. There's really, really good stories in that. I just got Wonder Woman Hecatea. I cannot wait to read that. The cover is so beautiful. I want Wonder Woman's foot on my face. I mean, the cover is just really, really cool. I think I need a Wonder Woman pop. But yeah, that's really about it. Last of Us remake, like full on remake, Last of Us 1 remake is got announced. There's a second limited edition version called the Firefly Edition, and you can only get it from the PlayStation website. Really sucks. Makes me sad. But yeah, that is it. Last minute stuff. I'm so happy we got this episode out. So happy I got you guys all your content. Now I gotta go write this description and get these timestamps. Make sure to follow your boy on Twitter, P90 the rapper. TikTok, P90 the rapper. The Patreon, when it's officially up, I'll put the link in the bio. Link will be everywhere. And yeah, you know, support your boys' comic habits so I can keep bringing y'all comics, or support the game habits so I can keep reviewing games. Cash App P90 the rapper, you know what I mean, with the dollar sign at the front. You're I dog. Beezy, thank you for coming by. Absolutely love y'all. Gave y'all some hits. Wait. I have a comic recommendation. Bringing a comic recommendation back. I recommend that you read Kingdom Come by Mark Waid. All right, that's my recommendation. Read it. My second recommendation is to read Sandman. The Sandman. Read it. It's fucking fire. It's really, really good. Also, watch American Psycho. I watched that. All right. You know what? I don't know. I don't think I told you guys I watched American Psycho. And if I did tell you, I don't think I went into detail about how I felt about that movie. Yeah, I know I said bye, but you know I never really leave properly. There's always something I forget to say. So American Psycho, oh my God. Listen, if I did say this earlier and I just forgot, just walk away. Otherwise, just keep listening if you want to hear my voice again. American Psycho was hilarious. That man is crazy. That man was just going on a murder spree and getting away with it. And it's like, it was all in his head. That's what it felt like. But at the same time, even if it wasn't, it's like a show of his privilege. Like, dog did so much, confessed to it, and then woke up, and then nothing. I don't think it was all in his head, though. It wasn't in headlines, it doesn't seem like. But I don't think it was all in his head. And I also think if most of it was in his head, I think he did kill some people. But the way that that lady looked at him when he was checking the closet, I think bro was really there. And I think that lady just cleaned the fuck out of that shit. I think she just did not want to deal with stuff. And she was like, she just didn't want to deal with crazy. I think that's what it could have been. But also, I think that it was all in his head. It was really good. Comedy all around. It was one of those things where it's like, it's not a comedy, but if you like dark shit, then you'll find something funny. Like in horror movies, when you can just always find something funny in someone who's literally running for their fucking life. That's how I was when I was watching this movie. It was damn straight of a good movie. But that man is a psycho. Like, homeboy just having casual conversation, grabbing hatchets and shit, and then whoosh, niggas just start hacking at motherfuckers. I think that's funny. Alright, now we call it quits. Thank you for sticking around. Damn it, I keep hitting the mic. Goodbye.